The life of a monk at Mount Angel Abbey is rooted in the time-honored practice of weaving prayer and work into their daily lives. In addition to gathering 6 times a day to pray together as a monastic community, the monks spend time alone in contemplative prayer, spiritual reading, and personal devotions. What brings a man to the monastery to be a monk, and what kinds of activities take place at a Benedictine abbey? Well, with me today to answer both of those questions and much more is Brother Anselm Flores. Brother is a seminarian at Mount Angel Abbey and coordinates special events with the Mount Angel Institute. Good morning, Brother Anselm, and thanks for coming back on the program here at Mater Dei Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm really glad to be back through, even if it's through Zoom. So I'm happy to be with you.
Fantastic. Well, we had so much fun with you at the Share-a-thon and just learning about life at Mount Angel Abbey. It's always exciting to hear what the activities are because you are a monastery, we think, oh, we can't go up there. But you invite the monks invite the public to come and to be in the chapel, to walk the grounds and to take part in the beautiful life that's there at the hilltop at Mount Angel. I know there's some special events going on in November, but I want to hear, how did the Lord guide you to Mount Angel? You know, what led you to check out Mount Angel as a monk and also to discern the priesthood?
That's a good question. And actually, I mean, we all have a story, and I'm just going to give you the brief highlights of my story. I actually started discerning in high school, and what I wanted to be, what I wanted to devote my life to, was to be a Dominican. And I loved the Dominicans because they're a beautiful order that's focused especially on teaching and preaching. And I thought I was inspired by Archbishop Fulton Sheen as a young man, and I really took on the mission of preaching from him. And I thought, I want to be as smart as he is, and I want to share the faith as intelligently as he did. So I wanted to join the Dominicans. And for a long time, during high school and in the beginning of college, my mind and my heart was set on joining the Dominicans. Well, during my first year of college, I decided to send my information to a website called Vocations Placement. And it's a beautiful website. You send them your information, and they send it to all the religious houses in the country. And I got 1,000 emails back from all these houses, and they were all automated. So thank you for your email. We're glad to have you. And I just did that for fun. But one house, Mount Angel, responded with a nice personal email. It was from Father Odo, and it said, "Dear Matthew," Matthew was my name back then. "Dear Matthew, thank you for contacting us. If you're interested, please give me a call or email me back. Here's my information." Well, I ignored it the first time because my conception of a monk, I got actually from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And monks there were antisocial, sort of away in the dark, praying all the time, and kept mortifying themselves. So that was my image of monastic life. So I ignored the email that Father Odo sent. Well, a week later, he sent another email, and I said, "Oh, I haven't heard from you yet. Are you still interested?" And I had to email back because I felt, I know, oh, it would be rude to ignore it the second time. So I emailed back saying, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. I want to join the Dominicans. Thank you." And then he said, "Well, if you're interested in the Dominicans, why not make a retreat here at Mount Angel for a week?" And I thought, well, okay, I've never been to Oregon and I've never been to a monastery, so I guess I'll try it out. So I come. And I'm coming from Bakersfield, which is a dry, arid area in California. And I'm coming to Oregon in November. So just, and we were experiencing really cold weather, really rainy weather. And for that whole week, as a discerner, I had to work with the monks. For the whole week, I had to work in the cold rain, raking leaves. And I hated it. I hated it so much because at the end of the day, I was so tired. But here's where I think God came in. I was so tired at the end of each day that I actually learned how to pray because my thoughts were finally not at the forefront of my mind. I was just too tired to think. So I could finally just sit down in my room and open myself to the Holy Spirit. And I found that interesting because I started asking God, of all the places, why now in this monastery? Why are you doing this here? Why didn't you do this when I was with the Dominicans? Why didn't you do this when I was discerning with the diocese or in other places? Why here? And I started asking him that question and just started being open to whatever my heart was being led to. And so after that stay, I asked for another stay during the summer this time. I asked for another stay for 2 more weeks. And it was during that stay that I was convinced that everything that my heart wanted in the Dominicans for my life, I found here. So that's sort of the short story of how I got to be a monk.
That's so beautiful. Brother Anselm is with us at Mount Angel Abbey and Seminary, a seminarian right now, and also coordinates some of the beautiful activities that go on with the Mount Angel Institute. And I love that because your heart and your soul found peace. And I think that's as we're discerning and we're asking the Lord, which direction do I go? It's when we experience that true peace, brother, that you experienced at Mount Angel in the cold and the wind and the rain that we know so well in Oregon, that here was when that restless soul heard the Lord say, come, and you did, and you responded, and you said, okay, I'll go back. And you found that true peace. When you came on as a seminarian and you entered into that first step of, okay, I'm gonna spend this time with the monks. How did your prayer life start to change, or just your whole life start to change once you made that commitment to be with the Abbey and to, like, okay, I'm going to spend this time now?
Yeah, that's a good question. And how I would describe it is, it really is a process. I mean, in just our spiritual life, but especially here when I entered, because it was a completely different way of life that I had been living. Coming from the world to suddenly a very structured way of living, I had to learn to let go of a lot of stuff, including stuff in my own prayer life. Because one thing, when I mentioned, oh, I learned how to pray, one thing that I realized was the way that I prayed was just too much me praying. It was too much of me trying to do prayer rather than actually praying, if that makes sense. So I tried to fill up, okay, I have an hour to pray. Let me look at the things that I can do and to fill that up. And so when I entered the monastery, those whenever I did that, it ended up being not fruitful. And so I had to learn to let go of the expectations I had in prayer. And when it was finally, I just sat down in silence with the scripture in front of me and just opened myself up to the word of God, it was then that I realized, oh, this is what prayer is. It's not me filling up some time with different prayer activities. That is a part of it. But what I realized, the more important thing about prayer was, instead of filling those times with activities, was just sitting with God in silence and letting Him lead you in the prayer. So.
That's so beautiful, brother, because prayer is initiated by God. It's not something that we start. We're responding to God's love, that He has loved us since the beginning of time, and He's calling out to us. And when we respond, that's our prayer. And it's best to be silent when we're praying. So I love that. Brother Anselm is with us from Mount Angel Abbey and Seminary. They've got a beautiful event coming up next week that I hope you join them with, and that is seeing the live drama of Tolton from St. Luke Productions, our friend Leonardo DeFilippis producing this beautiful drama on the first Catholic Black priest in the United States. Brother Anselm, I'm coming up to a break and I want to hear more about these activities that are happening at Mount Angel. Will you stay with me and then we'll continue our conversation in the next half hour?
Oh, yes, I'd be happy to.
This is Dina Marie, and I'm back with Benedictine monk Brother Anselm Flores of Mount Angel Abbey and Seminary. Brother shared with us a little bit about his call to the monastic life and call to the Benedictine life, which started out as a call maybe to the Dominicans, maybe to a diocesan priesthood. But you see, the Lord guides in so many ways. And when we're listening, we follow the steps he has planned for us. Brother also works on coordinating special events at the Hilltop, and it's been exciting to hear what's been going on at Mount Angel Abbey, not only for the monks and the seminarians there, but the community at large can come and join in on many of the activities that happen. Brother, thanks for coming back on the second half of our program today.
Yeah, anytime.
You also coordinate, outside of being a seminarian and studying and discerning and working with the monks there at Mount Angel, there is something called the Mount Angel Institute. So a lot of different things that are going on campus, not only for the monks or the seminarians, but for the general public at large. What is this Mount Angel Institute? And, you know, what are some of the different programs that have been sponsored through the Institute?
Yeah, so the Institute is really just a way where we can get everything that's happening on the Hilltop, because there's so many things that are happening. We have a brewery, a parish, a library, a monastery, a seminary, a coffee shop, a brew. So all of these things are happening. And we needed a body that we called the Mount Angel Institute to coordinate everything that was going on so that we could present the programs which really highlight our values as Benedictine monks. So to get all those programs and share them much better with church and with the world. And part of those programs, the key to those programs are what we call the rich ways. They are monastic values that we're sort of changing the lingo on. So instead of using classical monastic terms, we change the language so that everyone can use it. That's what the programs highlight. So rich ways, of course, of centering on the Eucharist, rich ways of prayer, rich ways of community life, rich ways of promoting arts and culture, rich ways of caring for land and environment. All these rich ways are shared through the programs that we try to plan and form on the Hilltop.
Right.
So that's the purpose of the Institute, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And what's been one of your more recent activities that you've sponsored just over in the fall in terms of following those rich ways and living those out with activities?
Oh, yeah. So the most recent one was it just happened at the beginning of this month. It was November 1st, All Saints Day. We had an All Saints relics pilgrimage and display. And, you know, not many people know this, but we have about 1600 relics, both major and minor relics of saints in the Abbey. And during the day, we displayed about 600, 800 of those relics. And it was nice. There were about 70 people, 80 people that came for the talk. One of our brothers came and did a talk and did a tour of all the different saints that we have. And throughout the day, many other people came to see and venerate the relics. So that's one way. And that's really rich ways of living together, because the saints are alive in heaven. And this was a way that we could see the communion that's beyond the physical, beyond what we can actually just see. Another beautiful one that we had was in October. It was an organ concert with Brother Thomas here. Just played some beautiful organ music, showing off our big organ. And then another one was a symposium focused on the intersection of science and faith with Father Tad. And he talked about the ethics, the bioethics, and the ethics of stem cell research. So those are some of the programs we recently had.
That's so great. And I love this, brother, because people from the local area can come. They could spend a day at Mount Angel. They can walk the grounds, check out the guest house, but also take part in these rich programs. The month of November, with this acknowledgement of the saints, you're bringing a saint or a soon-to-be saint to the stage at Damien Center. Tell us about this upcoming production with St. Luke Productions on November 21st.
Yeah, so that one It's going to be a play on Father Augustine Tolton, who was a slave and became the first Black priest in the United States. And that will be happening on Monday, November 21st, from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And it's going to be great. All the seminarians are going to be there because they need to know this story. Everyone needs to know this story. So they're going to be there, and we have many other guests who I know are coming too.
Well, I think this is a wonderful opportunity for the local public to come to see a live drama. Number one, you don't get that opportunity very often from our own St. Luke Productions, which is from the Pacific Northwest, over 40 years of ministry with Leonardo and Patty DeFilippis. But this is a really passionate story of the life of this slave who became a priest under a lot of difficulties in his time and not too far away from us in terms of when he lived, but to be the first Black Catholic priest in the US. For you as a seminarian, brother, what do you look forward to and hope that your brother seminarians will find out about Augustus Tolton?
The most beautiful things I think of that story are sort of four things that I would just highlight. Two things have to do with Father Tolton himself, and two other things with God. But with Father Augustine, he really models for us seminarians someone who is, on the one hand, really in love with the people of God. I mean, he became a priest and he went through all of that just so that he could serve. His whole being was aimed at service for his community there. That's one thing. It's a model of service such that he sacrificed a lot. And it's also a model of perseverance. Despite all the hardships that he experienced, I mean, really, the whole society against you, despite all of that, he found strength in Christ and through Christ gained perseverance for the sake of service. So those are two things that really, really great values that Father Augustine highlights. But it also highlights two other things about just the work of God. One thing, God interrupts whatever preconceived notions we have. That's sort of the character of the Holy Spirit. He sort of gets in, he chooses people, and sometimes those things interrupt the status quo. And I think we should be more open to that in the life of the church, in our own personal life, to be open to the surprises of the Spirit. That's another thing that that the story of Augustine Tolton shows. And another thing is the creative power of the Holy Spirit. No one else could be creative enough to foresee that Father Augustine could be a priest at this time. Some other people did, very few people did, and they saw in that the will of God. They were open to it. And it's a creative will that God has. So those are the things I think are really important to take out from this story. Father Augustine as persevering, Father Augustine's love for the people, and also God's creative but also interruptive power sometimes in our own lives.
Oh, how beautiful. I want to encourage our listeners to go ahead and check out that Tolton live performance if you can. Mount Angel Abbey, they'll host it 7 o'clock. There's no fee. Certainly, you can contribute. I know they'll probably be taking donations. Refreshments will be available there at the Damien Center. If you come early, take time for prayer in the Abbey Church and then walk over to the Damien Center. And hey, you get to meet and greet with all of the seminarians. And of course, get to encounter a saint in the making, and that is Father Tolton. So, what a great thing on Monday night, starting at 7 on the hilltop. Brother Anselm, we're so excited for just to know that you are on the road. You have said yes, and you're letting the Lord guide you with the Benedictine monks. And on the road, we pray to the priesthood one day. So, we'll continue to pray for your vocation and ask for you all to pray for us here at Mater Dei Radio. Would you help us close in leading us in prayer?
Oh, yes, sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty and merciful Lord, we thank you for the gift of the Eucharist that you have given us, and through which we participate in your divine life. Help us to love you all the more and help us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church, and in the world. Give us the wisdom and charity to be better imitators of you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Anselm. Have a blessed day and a blessed month of November.
Yes, thank you. You too.